guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Good evening. You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, 104.1 FM, KSCO.com. It's now 7 minutes past 7 p.m. I'm Chris Spencer with your weather and traffic updates for tonight. Let's see out there. We're going to have mostly clear conditions, a low around 44. For Wednesday, sunny, a high near 68. And Wednesday night, mostly clear, a low around 44. Thursday, sunny, and a high near 70. Monterey Bay boaters forecast for tonight. Northeast winds 10 knots, wind waves 2 feet or less, and a west swell 4 to 6 feet at 13 seconds. Quick look at your traffic out there this evening. And it looks like a signal alert for East Ziani Road and East Creek Road in the Santa Cruz area. And looks like there's a pole and wires across the roadway there. And then a traffic collision, State Road 85 North at Cottle in the Hollister-Gilroy area. It's about 52 degrees here at KSCO. Up next, Off the Lip Radio Show.
Opinions expressed in the following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Good evening and welcome to Off the Lip, the show about surfing and skateboarding. If you'd like to join the show tonight, give us a call at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, here are your hosts for tonight's program, Neil Pearlberg and Terry Campion.
Good evening and welcome to the Off the Lip Radio Show, broadcasting every Tuesday night from KSCO right here in gorgeous Santa Cruz, California. In studio tonight, along with my good friend and co-host, Mr. Terry Campion.
Hello, Neil.
How are you, buddy?
We're having some issues with Facebook Live right now.
We are?
I'm
going to
work on it, but
we're on Facebook Live. Okay.
On Santa Cruz Waves?
Well, it'd be nice to have, because in studio tonight, we have two racehorses.
You can see them right now.
Ready to go.
Yeah, in the gate.
They are like, they're
in the gate.
They're in the gate.
This is like
Secretariat. You've got Secretariat and Seabiscuit in the stalls, ready to go.
Wasn't Facebook part of the contract, you guys?
Yeah, you're on.
Yeah, you're on. You're on Facebook. There was a contract you signed. The ink's still not dry yet. But I've been trying to get Frank and Doug on for a long time. And I'll explain who Frank and Doug are in a while. Trying to get Frank and Doug on for a little bit, but Frank's going, nope, we need to hold off. Nope, we need to hold off. Nope, need to hold off. Hanging on, holding off. But they are in studio tonight. Between them, they have almost 50 years experience taking photos of the mighty wave at Mavericks. But there's more to that.
I hope so.
Because we talked about the voodoo wave, right? We've talked about the voodoo wave. We talked about the place being jinxed.
Yeah, jinxed.
Right? But tonight,
by the way, who quoted us on that?
Was
that
I don't know.
Somebody, Skin Dog said that?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But tonight, we're going to get the whole story, the backstory from Frank Quarotti and Doug Acton.
With the combined days of experience at Mavs, probably in the thousands.
Yeah. Combined years of almost 50 years.
Yeah, maybe
gone.
A lot.
And they're old. They're old.
I'm old. You
so,
guys are
you know what? Because, you know, TC and I, we just ad-lib the whole thing anyway, right? The shows anymore. So now I'm just figuring, let's get him in here, get him in the stall, and let him go.
Yeah, that's exactly
in studio right now. First at bat, first up, Mr. Doug Acton.
Thank you.
Where do you want to go, Doug? How about we start with where you started at Mavericks? You remember the first day you went out there, and we're going to go from there?
It wasn't this thing that was, like, handed to me. It was a growing process, a huge growing process. And what I had to do is learn how to ride a ski. I was on boats for a few years, and I learned from being on boats I didn't want to be on boats. So I did my research and basically learned on my own about the ski is the way to do it. You kind of become the master of your own destiny when you're on a ski because you put yourself in the positions that is really hard to convey to a boat driver. Unless you have a good boat driver. And I did have a couple of really, really good boat drivers. But boats are unreliable. Guys, you know, from the harbor, they weren't always there. So a ski was the most obvious tool to use.
Was a ski available to you from the get-go?
No, absolutely not.
I'm thinking like a Zodiac. You were talking about Zodiac, Chris, EC, right?
Me dying in a Zodiac and Mavericks?
basically the start of... basically the start of people going out to Mavs was on a Zodiac, and it was on Jazz, and that was, you know, it was an adventure. And I'm going to be the first to say it, and I'm glad I did it because I did it on a foggy day where you couldn't even see Mushroom Rock when you went by it, so... I'd never been out at the place, but yet I'm going on a Zodiac with I think it was a 30 horse outboard, right. And I'm just going on. I can't even see what's coming at us.
Right.
And it was a learning process, but what you do learn is the boats you can rely on, and it was really important that you learned about your boat driver, the boat you were on, and the people that were around you. And for me, it took a couple of years just to get that under my belt. And then when I didn't feel, like one of the boats I was on had two V8s on it. It was polluting a lot. I would get kind of nauseous.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
From
from the diesel fumes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And I knew there had to be a better way. And luckily some acquaintances on Maui kind of steered me in the right direction. They said, hey, you got to do this, do that. And there were some filmers that lived on Maui that were trailing waves on Wave Runner, and they'd have a video guy in the back, and
yeah.
They were getting some outrageous footage. I thought, you know, hey, that's not that hard. But you got to equate it out to being out on a day where the ocean is as big as you've ever seen it. Type situation. That's what Frank and I have been dealing with for a number of years now is going out on days where you look out and it's just lines to the horizon.
And the biggest you ever seen it was?
Oh, geez. I would the biggest wave I think I've seen was Peter Mells on October 28th swell and
what year?
99.
Right.
And it was like this climax to the whole day where he took off on this set that just seemed to come out of, I mean, all the other waves were huge. Don't get me wrong, but this one set that hit the third reef and stood up. And for me, it's like I was inside on the second and first reef, and the hump kind of blocked my vision. So all I saw is the top part of the wave and a guy dropping in on it. So Grant and I were next to each other on skis.
Grant who?
Washburn.
Right.
And he was shooting film, and I was 16 mil, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, shooting stills. And we both raced side by side over the hump, and just everything opened up as soon as we got on top of that hump and looked what was happening. And it was this huge-ass wave. Just I've never seen anything that big in my life.
Bigger than Dollar's wave?
It was Dollar's Wave's broke in a different place.
Well, Dollar's Wave was a paddling.
Yeah.
That Peter Mell's Wave was a towing.
It was a towing.
Oh, it was
two different ways. Yeah.
Right.
This was at a point where the guys that were paddle surfing, they were trying to figure out how to get into the bigger,
right.
Biggest
right.
Waves.
Yeah, hadn't got there yet.
Yeah, it hadn't evolved yet. It was something that was going towards, but, yeah, it was a wave that just opened up, and it was a huge face. Don Montgomery's got a really great angle of it from the cliff, and Eric Nelson also has a really good video clip of it.
What am I, chopped liver?
You weren't there.
I got it.
Okay.
Sorry, Frank. Sorry, Frank.
But, okay. So, really quickly.
Frank wasn't there.
No, I was there, all right.
Frank was there. The beauty of it was just Frank and myself shooting it out in the water. It was like our own private show.
Right.
I think it was only like two or three tow teams out there, like Pete and Skinny, Jeff and somebody else, and... Jay was out, I think, that day.
Yeah. This is when Richie was on the cliff just saying, I got to get on the program. And right after that, a lot of people did.
Right.
Because a lot of people were watching when they should have been participating. You know, but they didn't because Pete and Skinny had a vision, right? Yeah.
They did, but let me put the brakes on this right now.
Okay. Frank,
here comes Frank's version.
He skipped over so much of his history.
First of all, you guys are going to have. I only know TC. This is like Doug Hout and Rich Novak.
Yeah,
right. They have to come back like 12 times.
That's okay.
Right. So
let me skip to one of your stories. It's a little more somber, but it's.
And let me tell the audience who you are. Right now, speaking right now is Frank Corradi, who's one of the. One of the top photographers at Mavericks, and blessed to have he's been at this show before. Blessed to have him again, and so go ahead.
I'm basically his protege, right? I followed in his footsteps. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be doing the things that I do. But one of his stories, which is the most important to me, was when he was a lot of the abalone divers had to stop. Abalone diving, they cut commercial diving out. So these drivers who are super experienced, Brian Price, you know, Santa Cruz dude, super nice guy, great family. They all took their boats and converted them into photographer boats out at Mavericks, right?
Was that Deeper Blue? Out.
Yep, the Deeper Blue.
Nice boat,
So these guys were on the Deeper Blue the
Frankie,
day
Brian Price, a.k.a. Position King.
Yeah, right. But Doug was on the boat that found Mark Fu. So take it away.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
That's a story right
there. You know... That was the one of the hugest just roller coasters I've been on in my life. We went from a full week of some of the probably best, cleanest Maverick surf that we've ever seen. Everybody, Grant Washburn has a sequence in his video in some video where he's marking another day in the notch of that whole week, and he's going, I can't believe it. This is like day six or day seven, and we're continuing on like this. And Mark had flown over in the morning with Ken Bradshaw, and they took the early morning flight. And I remember seeing Mark paddle by the boat, and I yelled out at him. I go, hey, Mark, glad you made it. And he's just all happy and everything. And it's just one set created this havoc that you wouldn't believe. It's just I think Sean Rhodes caught the first wave of the set. It wasn't really the first wave, but it's like this rogue wave that came before it. He wiped out, went through the rocks. Then it was Parsons and Brock, and they went through the rocks. And then Mark's wave, and then Ken got the last wave. It was a little bit more separate, coming out of deeper water.
Ken Bradshaw.
Yeah, Ken Bradshaw, beautiful wave. Oh, God, it was a classic, classic big Mavericks wave. And he made the drop and everything. Mike paddled back to the boat. And he was all kind of shell-shocked. He took a pretty good wipeout, and he went through the rocks. And I set the hose on him. We had a hose coming out of the engine that had warm water, so he's just cooling down or warming up. And he goes, I felt something underwater. And I don't know who it was. It felt like it was like maybe, you know, Brock. But it turned out that it could have been Mark. But long story short is we just all, you know, he told his story about him washing through the rocks. And then we're going in. Evan Slater's there. Steve Spaulding's on the boat. And we get inwards to the entrance of the harbor. And Evan yells out that he sees something shiny in the water. And he's the only one with the wetsuit on halfway. And I just said, Evan, just jump in and see what it is. and he swims out, and he's calling. It's Mark, and he starts yelling out, "It's Mark!" And we bring him into the boat, and you know, I mean, this is really tough. I had him in my arms, and I got him sideways and started compressing water out of him. And you could tell that, you know, in the time that he wiped out, in the time we got to the entrance, it was at least 45 minutes to an hour.
Right.
So he had to travel all that way,
yeah,
from the outside all the way to the harbor entrance where we were at.
Yeah.
And I finally looked at his face, you know, and I just thought, you know, he looked, everyone speculated on all kinds of, you know, traumatized this, that. The really heartening part was when I got home and my wife and my daughter, she was 5, and I got to the door and they both opened the door before I even got to it. And they were both crying and we were crying. And I basically pulled the plug on my phone because I didn't want to deal with anyone calling. I had people calling me.
Yeah,
it was got ridiculous. I don't want to. Okay.
Did you get text messages?
What I did is I withheld the photos. I talked to my boss, and he was very, very.
Who was?
hang on a sec. But. Frank.
He's a legend. You got to talk about the legends.
Yeah,
thing.
Who's Mr. Tom Carroll? Nick Carroll. I'm sorry. Nick Carroll. And he was very, very just on it. He said, "That's okay. I agree with you. I really wanted the photos. But, yeah, I mean, I could have had a cover on Outside Magazine,"
right.
And I just said no, and which is great because the Fu family, Charlene and his mom, both called me, and we talked about the whole thing, and they were really thankful that I held back on it.
Right. And, of course they were. Give it out of respect.
Oh, know. Absolutely. It's all about respect.
Right.
It's all about respect,
right.
And death,
sure,
is a very... It's a subject that you really have to watch how you take it and do it. And,
right, and deal with it.
Yeah. What had closure to the whole thing for me is they both came out the next summer.
Yeah.
And we had a chance to walk out to where Mavis is at. And I talked with Charlene, and I also talked with Mark's mom, and I told her that... you know, Mark looked really calm and he
peaceful. Right.
And she started to cry, and it's just like, God, I'm not real sensitive, but it had me crying too.
Right.
It's just
right.
One of those things where you
I'm sure it would take a lot to get you to cry. Frank's probably made you cry a few times.
Yeah,
he has.
You're listening to the Off-It Radio Show right here on KSCO. Hey. This portion of the show is brought to you by, hang on a second, Countdown to Christmas Sale from Buell Surf Shop on 41st Avenue. Their Christmas sales run through Christmas Eve. They're putting on they got a new collection of gear on sale each day up to Christmas Eve. Right now, they have Super Brown surfboards 10% off, clothing 25% off, Kobe and sandals 25% off, Merch for socks 25% off. What better to give than a Christmas present than Merch for socks? Stone Fox swimwear 25% off, and GNS longboards $100 to $150 off. That is from Buell Surf Shop on 41st Avenue. TC, you're pretty quiet over there tonight.
That Foo story, I was surfing Scott's Creek that day with Frosty and Vince Broglio, and that affected me that day. I mean, I had this feeling that there was a chance we rode the same swell that day, and that story's always really affected me. And so, yeah.
We'll be right back. It's a very short break. Don't go away.
This is Numa and Isaac from Aloha Island Grill. Well, summer's right around the corner here in Santa Cruz, and that means one thing. It's time to come get your grind on at the Aloha Island Grill.
Come over to Aloha Island Grill and eat some food.
We're located on the corner of Portola and 17th Avenue, and we've got a beautiful lanai for you to come sit out on. We've got a fine assortment of plate lunch, fresh ahi poke, and other wonderful treats for you to enjoy.
My favorite food at Aloha Island Grill is Kalua Pig.
We've got ice-cold beer and wine for those hot summer days, and try some of our homemade POG, passion orange guava juice. It's delicious. For to-go orders, give us a call at 479-3299. Find us on the web at AlohaIslandGrill.com or come on down to 1700 Portola Drive. Aloha Island Grill is a proud member of Think Local First.
A&B Insurance has been serving the Santa Cruz community for over 85 years. Manufacturing, wholesale, retail, restaurants, not-for-profits. If you can think of an iconic Santa Cruz company, we've probably worked with them, and we'd love to work with you. Give us a call at 831-423-4304. Check us out on the web at anbins.com. Or stop by at 931 Mission Street in Santa Cruz. And tell us you heard it on the radio on KSCO.
Fall is here with an awakening ocean. And what you need is something that shows you in an instant exactly what the waves and tides are at your favorite location. A wave clock on your desk or wall shows you what's happening out there right now. We created Wave Clock to bring you the latest digital information in a classic instrumentation format to provide a real-time view of the tides and waves. Whether you or your favorite surfer, sailor, fisherman, or ocean lover needs to know what's happening at the coast, the Wave Clock is perfect. Surprise your friends and loved ones this holiday with a unique piece of functional art. We have a range of designs developed with other Santa Cruz artisans, sourced from local woods using local artwork. Each one utilizes state-of-the-art technology to bring you the ocean at a glance. Sign up for our newsletter at www.thewaveclock.com to get an exclusive KSCO discount for the holidays, and download the free app on iTunes or the Google Play Store. Find the perfect gift for your favorite ocean fan or yourself, and begin to see the ocean in a new way.
We are back with the Off the Lip Radio Show right here, KSCO. You can watch us live on Facebook with Santa Cruz Waves. Also, TC got approved for Stitcher. Our podcasts are going to be on Stitcher, whatever Stitcher is.
All right.
Our podcasts are going to be on Stitcher.
We sound very important,
don't
we?
I don't even know. In studio tonight, two legends from up north a little bit, two surf photographers that between them have over almost 50 years experience at Mavs and can pretty much tell you everything you want to know. That would be Doug Acton and Frank Quarotti. If you want to call in tonight, the phone number is 831-479-1080, 831-479-1080. And, Doug, you want to add just one more thing about the Mark Fu story that you just told, correct?
Yeah, there's a couple things, just real quickly, that were conveyed to me from friends of mine that were on the cliff, that during this whole period from Mark's wave to us finding him in a little bit further on, some friends of mine on the cliff saw this really strange ring in the clouds. And this sounds really weird. I got to tell you, it sounded weird to me. But like there's four of them up there, and I think Eric was one of them, Nelson. And they mentioned that one of the clouds kind of was formed an angel. Now, I don't know. It sounds really weird. It sounded weird.
It sounds perfect.
It did. But for me, I came back the next day, the next morning, to run film up to the cities. And like Frank and myself, if we can't do it that night, we do it like really early the next morning.
Yeah.
So I pulled up and I went to the checkout, overlooking Privates, and you can see Mavs from there. And it was like from the beginning when I first watched the place, and there was just Jeff Clark out by himself, and there was still enough swell and nobody out with him.
And the weather. The weather changed.
It was kind of cloudy, overcast, and it was like a fitting end to this book that was just written, you know.
Can I ask you a question about you guys are like brothers, correct? It seems like. But yeah. You guys both have
fight terribly with each other.
Both surf photographers. How did that partnership or friendship come about?
Well, Frankie saw what I was doing, and I'm glad he saw what I was doing to continue on with what I'm doing, you know. And I think that thing with Fu, which I really need to stress, is the fact that there is no accountability on somebody that's on a wave that wipes out like that, and it's, where did he go? And that question even was asked on the boat. Where's Fu? Because he never paddled back out. We just figured that he paddled in with after that wave, and right. He's on the beach.
Right.
So that got a few people thinking about that. I was thinking about myself. Frank here I think it led him into a mindset of not only shooting the place but having accountability.
To rescue. Did it happen that day? Was that kind of to that? Is that something that was in your mind?
It was definitely the beginning of it for sure. It was, but like comparing that to now, and how it's evolved, and now you know teams don't even think about going anywhere without a full contingent of rescue people with them. Like the boys just went out to Cortez Banks, you know, last week, and they took four EMS rescue boats, and that's all they did. They sat out there. They didn't even take photos, nothing. They just sat out there, and they're there for rescue. And I mean, that's how far we come.
Right.
And it's taken a long time, but at least it's here. And it makes good sense because now, back in the day, the lineup was 12 guys. Now the lineup's 50. So
yeah, we talk about that all the time.
Has the new suits that you have, and having the rescue there, does that enabling the surfers to take bigger chances?
Yeah, I don't know if it's enabling them or like allowing them to take bigger
chances.
Someone
over there shaking his head at me.
Mike Gerhardt. He's another one of my brothers.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Bottom line is,
go straight and inflate. That's
right.
Tank bird, but it's not funny.
To me, the vests seem so scary. To me. I mean, I imagine it might be something that, some people see as a safety issue. But to me, I always think of Jack O'Neill when he blew up the original, that photo of Jack. I always think it, that picture to me is like one of those vests. Like,
exactly. But I think the most important part is Doug and Mike, and all the older, the journeymen of the spot need to teach these guys, they're, all these things are in place, but inevitably you're responsible for yourself.
Absolutely.
Like, you can have the inflatable vest, you can have jet skis floating around you, but if you haven't dotted your I's and crossed your T's, you're still going to be in big trouble.
Well,
and not only that, you're going to put somebody else in trouble too.
I have this theory about it too. Like, there's, now that the crowd's gotten so big and there's inexperienced people in the water, these inexperienced people are taking the waves that probably shouldn't be surfed a lot of times.
Right. They really press it when it shouldn't be pressed.
And that creates, or people dropping in on each other, all kinds of different things happening. Because of the impact of the crowd.
Yeah, you don't want to go elbow to elbow on a 25-foot wave.
Right.
Like, you don't want to be, you're not out at some beach break.
Not 38.
Waves of consequence.
Right. So having the eyes is probably more important now than it's ever been based on the inexperience of some people in the water and the crowds.
Yeah.
Well, I still find, though, on the crowded days, there are those guys that just go. They take off on the bigger, the deeper waves, and that's their MO. They've been doing it for years, and no matter who's there, Joe Kuchenbinder or whatever, those guys are charging. And then there's the new crop that's charging. Now, some of the guys that are, I don't know why they're out there. I had a guy get on my – I went in after a guy, got him, and he asked me if I got the shot.
For my Instagram.
Shot all him wiping out.
Oh.
Or on that wave.
It reminds me very quickly of someone you've met, TC, my friend Joe Santos, who's I don't know if you know Joe, he's a fire captain at Half Moon Bay. He pulled up to a guy unwrapping
a
wave storm that said 4 to 6 feet. And he asked the guy, where are you going? He goes, I'm going out there to Mavericks. He's from Fremont. He said, no, you're not.
He should have got the 8 to 10 footer.
because I ain't coming out. Because
those,
why not?
Those do well out
no,
there.
No, you're surfing over there by the Princeton, right over there is where you're surfing. You're not going out there because I'm not coming out there and rescuing you.
It's exciting to see some of these new kids. We had Luca on the show.
We got Luca. Yeah. We got Thomas Lungar. We got Peter's brother. We got Hunter. We got Thomas. We have a bunch of Half Moon Bay kids.
It's really
that
cool
are starting
to see.
To really show up now.
And I
where
to...
we didn't have them before. Okay. And it's really important that we have this new crop of young. And a lot of these guys are like National Park lifeguards. I mean, they're really experienced watermen.
Right.
And it's really good to have them out there.
It is. I'm looking forward to having a Luca or one of these local kids representing Half Moon Bay in this contest too.
They'll get there. They're gonna get there. Especially Luca. He's like right. He's probably pretty much on
there's,
the.
There's one guy I want to throw his name in. That's Michael Joshua. He was on my surf team and started surfing Mavs at the 18. Usually 17, 18 is that age now. The magic age to start, and he's still at it too, and forging.
But what's funny is there was no kids at all. And like on the way down here, I was talking to one of the kids. His name is Omid, and I go, Omid, remind me of all the kids now because there's so many, and including him that are really like they're going out there on every day now.
They're training and they're doing it properly.
They're all very lean. They're all very fit. They're all good surfers. On
Luca's into his diet and stuff.
That's not the way it used to be.
Can we talk about the contest real quick? What's happening with the contest this year?
Just go right into it. Like we're waiting on one more permit. It's the Coastal Commission, which we'll most more likely get. It just was a matter of timing, like getting on their schedule. But I think we got it. But the WSL is ready to run this event. We're even talking about running Portugal next week. So,
Are you guys happy with the WSL taking over?
I'm going to say yes because I'm on the WSL team now on the Big Wave Tour, and what I've seen. And it's guys that I work with for years, and everyone coming together, which is super awesome. And they're really organized. They got the backing. They got the safety. I'm happy.
Cool. Well, we can talk more about that. Going to a break.
Okay, really quickly, this is the Off-Lit Radio Show right here on KSCU every Tuesday night, 7 to 8 p.m. You can watch the show live on Facebook with Santa Cruz Waves. The portion of the show is brought to you by our friend TC for Julie at Toyota.
I just saw Julie.
Where?
She went Christmas shopping at the boardroom.
Yeah, she's been gone. Gone a few days.
She was heading up to Tahoe with some Christmas presents. That's what she said.
Well, anyway, Julie, thank you very much and Toyota Santa Cruz for sponsoring the show. We really appreciate it. Without their help, the show's not happening. Show's also brought to you by People's Coffee, my buddy Curtis down the street at People's Coffee. Who did I go there? Who did I chat with the other day? Oh, Bob Pierce of Marist Surfboards.
I've seen him there.
People's Coffee. So
I can't pass up a croissant there, I'll tell you.
You really?
A croissant with Bob Pearson.
I heard you've been
that's
knowing
a date
too,
right
buddy.
There. That's a date.
I've been working out. Man.
I have too. Yeah. But thanks, Curtis, and all your staff up there at People's Coffee. Really appreciate it. Also, this portion of the show is brought to you by Lighthouse Bank, John Sisk, Westside Surfer. He's probably hanging out there with a bunch of the guys at Surf Mavs.
They should sponsor that contest.
You know what? You know what? That might be a good idea.
He's a surfer.
He is a surfer.
He runs the
Lighthouse
best top five bank in the country.
Top five bank. It's locally here. Member FDIC. If you need to I see people still going into Wells Fargo. I know I bust their chops.
You are.
People still going into Wells Fargo.
You know, I got
what are
someone,
doing?
Someone's like, hey, tell Neil to lay off on Wells Fargo. I work there. Someone said that to me.
Okay.
They're all
sorry about that. You're listening to the Off-Lit Radio Show, Ryan KSCO. We'll be right back. It's a very short break. Don't go away.
Yeah.
This is Brett Timmy.
And Claire from Claire's Corner at Pono Hawaiian Grill.
Featuring wraps, teriyaki bowls, plate lunches, amazing and creative salads, vegetarian and gluten-free options, and over 20 different types of poke, all made to order, fast, fresh, and healthy. And what's your favorite, Kaleo?
The chicken fingers.
Located at 120 Union Street in downtown Santa Cruz. Call us for takeout at 831-426-PONO. Or check us out on the web at PonoHawaiianGrill.com. We put the ONO in PONO.
Hey, this is Steve Pereira, the beach guy at Bailey Properties in Santa Cruz. My wife Diane and I have been selling beach homes in the Santa Cruz area since 1982. But what we're really selling is the lifestyle. This is what we call Pereira Dice. We'd love to have you here in Santa Cruz County. If you've been looking for a beach home or you want to sell your beach home, give us a call. We have the experience, knowledge, and we're fun to work with. Hey, check us out on lifesabeach.com, where you can check out updated listings at the beach. Thanks for your support. Give us a call. My wife, Diane, at 818-5939, and Steve at 818-7064. We're the beach people here in Santa Cruz. Give us a call. We know the beach.
Hey, this is Fig from Surf City Sandwich. We offer the finest craft sandwiches in the county with unique and creative flavor combinations sure to satisfy. Our motto, Go Fresh or Go Home, means we take the quality and consistency of our food very seriously. Fresh local bread and produce is delivered to us each day so you can be sure you are eating the best grinds in town, like our delicious tiki tuna or Vulcan mind melt. Try out our latest creations, The Claw, Chipotle Chicken Club, and Calabrian Meatball. We offer craft beer with 8 rotating taps, featuring some of the top local brewers in Santa Cruz. Located at the north end of 41st Avenue in the Soquel Tower Plaza. Call us for takeout at 346-6952. Check out our website for online ordering at surfcitysandwich.com and be stoked on sandwiches.
Okie dokie, we're back with the Off the Lip Radio Show. Our guests tonight are the one and only Frank Perotti and Doug Acton, surf photographers, and much more up at the that little wave off of Pillow Point in Half Moon Bay. Right now we have Nick from Live Oak. Nick, you there, buddy?
Yeah, hey.
How are you?
Nice. I caught wind that Bruce Brown died. I wonder if you had any of his stories.
Bruce Brown stories. Let me see if we can come up with. Thanks for calling, Nick.
Yeah, Nick, thanks for that.
So we got a Bruce Brown story for you guys. Any Bruce Brown stories, or we can?
I'm actually really good friends with Nancy, his daughter, and we've been friends for a long time. And we've worked on. It was Wild California. It was a Bruce Brown and Dana Brown film filmed at Mavericks, and we got to meet him and hang out with them, the whole family. That's where Nancy and I met. But just. You know, we all know Bruce Brown.
Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, even surfing, but we were all dirt bike riders when we were younger. And on any Sunday, and those movies came out, we're like, it was ridiculous. Like, those movies were, that was our mecca. I mean, we didn't have Netflix. We didn't have any of that stuff. We just had, we have those movies.
Yeah. So friends of mine who ride dirt bike, that's like the most important film in their life.
Pretty much, on any Sunday.
On any Sunday. I mean, his what he's contributed to surfing is big, but guys who ride motorcycles.
Oh, yeah. That was their legend. He's their legend too.
Doug, do you have a favorite Maverick moment?
You know. I think it was that October 28th swell. I can
2000.
Remember.
2000.
Yeah, there was a lot of this foam in the water. You could see it in the wave. You could see it all around you, and you didn't really realize it until you got past Mushroom Rock on the Inside Reef. That you were going through 3 feet deep of almost like powder. It was the craziest thing.
But the jet skis don't work in that powder, do they?
This was more of a surface foam. It wasn't like aerated water. It was already produced foam that was just on the top of the water. So
kelp foam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I couldn't see my ski. I couldn't see the water. And what you in that part of that reef is you have a lot of cross surf. So you got waves catching up to other waves and throwing
Cross,
out.
Right.
And waves coming off the reverb from the harbor.
Right.
And I couldn't see anything, but it was, it was one of the coolest things that I've ever gone through. It was like I was going through 3 feet of powder.
Right.
You know, on the mountain. It was crazy.
And for you, Frank?
Same thing, but what he's saying is right. But jet skis will not function in that kind of aerated water. They need, you know, they need that solid mass to flow through the pump and press out. And when it hit that foam, it's disastrous. It's like that's our worst nightmare.
That's the foam underwater.
What do you take most pride in right now? You being a photographer or being a rescue ski operator?
I think I'm actually focused on more of my singing career than either of those things.
Can you give us a couple of bars? Can you give us a couple of bars? Frank.
No, I like it.
Let's hit a couple of bars first.
I think I like the fact that it's both. It's both. We need to hit it. Both of them create
a bigger
value to me.
If what we're going to do is if you want to come down and start banging tonight off two bottles of red wine, Frank will sing you a song.
There is a piano there.
Or even a half a bottle. We're not doing that fringe.
Frank, during your... during your time where you've had a sled and a on the back of your ski, have there been moments where you're like, I think I just saved that guy's life?
Yeah, no. They think about it, but I don't think about it. I just think that's my way of giving back, you know? Like, that's my job when I'm going to be out there. And, you know, Jeff and Grant and Doug and Neil kind of taught me how to do it. And that's my responsibility within myself to, like, if I'm going to be out there, if I'm going to get to enjoy this, because it's my life, right? Mm-hmm. It's there's no argument. Like, it's been my life for over 20 years now, and it's been a wonderful life at that. And I have to give back. And we talk about it all the time. Like, we have to give back, and that's what we give back.
Well, you're like the angels out there. And my next question is, have you ever lost a ski out there?
Yeah, a few here and there.
I mean, it is a marine sanctuary, right?
We've lost a few out there. No, my most infamous one was we went in. We had gotten some skis. I won't name the brand, but we got some skis that weren't really made for the rescuing. They're more flat, like a lake boat type of ski. When you get in there, right, it wouldn't drop down into the foam, like through the foam, and it wouldn't happen. And went in to pick up one of the guys and... You know, you see the waves coming, and I saw it, and he's on the back. I'm like, we're going to get hit. And he's like, no, let's just go.
Right.
Hit us, knock us out, you know.
Okay, in studio tonight, sitting on the couch, is longtime Mavs surfer, Mr. Mike Gerhardt, who happened to stop by because these two gentlemen are in town. And so perhaps I can get a word from Mike about Mike, who am I sitting here? Who are TC and I sitting here with tonight? I know you can read a lot in the press, you can read a lot on the internet about these guys, but I want to hear from the horse's mouth a little bit about our guests this evening.
Well, it's just very comforting when you paddle out to at Mavs to see these guys out there. These guys have your back, and there's such a strong brotherhood, and you just know that if something goes sideways for you, that these guys would be in there and risk their necks to get you out of harm's way. When I had my serious injury out there in 2005, I had a fairly long hold down. Frank was sitting, knew right where I was held under, and when I came up, he's like, you want to ride in? Like, he already knew I was mangled and done, and
right.
I mean, he just knew, just from the experience of being out there forever. And yeah, I mean, Frank's an unsung hero, and Doug, all these guys have just done so much for big wave surfing, and I'm just grateful that I'm grafted into their family of being out with them and knowing that they're keeping an eye on us, and, you know, just having a beer after the session and dinner or whatever is just really a cool, great part of the whole experience.
If you were in my seat right now, would you have a question for Doug, and what would it be?
Mm-hmm.
No.
That's a trick question. I'm gonna plead the fifth.
You know what? You talk about me and Mike's relationship. What Mike introduced me to back in like 2000 was the Ride Away program, like one of the most giving and special programs in Santa Cruz. And he's calling us a hero, but he's actually the hero.
Hey,
he's been doing it
since the word go
with him and Danny Cortazzo. And he dragged me down, like tried, and I finally went down. And now my son does it with us. And I've been doing it for like 17 years. He's been doing it for 20-something years.
Right.
And it's just been such a blessing, man. Him and his family have been a blessing to me. Like, seriously, he's like, if Our blood runs through the veins.
Exactly. With the Ride Away program, it's amazing. Yeah. I agree. How many people have been
through the program?
Yeah, through it.
Danny, we love you.
Yeah. Right. No, it's really a cool thing.
Cortazzo.
Yeah. All right, that's been amazing.
Let's talk about the girls, because obviously Sarah, your wife Mike, has been charges out there. The girls now have definitely been on our show and definitely they're on the map.
They're back in the contest, right?
They had a state, right? Are they going to be in the contest this year?
No, they're in it. And yeah. I don't know if you saw like the Maui, the WSL Maui, the Piahi Challenge. Watching the girls like last year, a lot of them hadn't surfed at Maui, so they weren't our Piahi, and they just weren't like aware of the lineups and stuff. This year, they did their homework. They surfed that heat, and it was just like watching a regular heat. They murdered it. Right. They caught big waves. You know, they knew where to sit. They challenged it. They're there. You know, they're only a couple more contests away from the top tier.
And it's going to be it'll be happening this year.
They're in Mavericks. They're in every WSL. Not every, but they're definitely in Piahi, and they're definitely in Mavericks.
Okay.
And I'm sure they're being integrated into the other events, so as the big wave events.
Do you think they'll still do it between like the semis and main, like the final? You know, like how they've been doing.
Well, Piahi, they did it right before the men's final.
Right.
So they, and they got waves. There was plenty of waves for them, so it was great. It worked out beautifully.
Plus, there's a time until the final they have time to run a heat.
Right. Yeah, they got to give the semis a break.
It's a filler. It's a great filler.
But no, it's not even a filler anymore. The only reason why they're not running heats is there's not enough girls are qualified to do it. They would have to run heats, but there's only six or seven top girls that are seated, and respectfully, they're the only six or seven girls that can survive a giant wave.
Right.
Let's talk about some of the girls. Who's going to take it?
Kiala Kennedy.
Well, we got Paige Alm. Paige Alm is she's a machine, and we got Kiala, obviously. We got Sarah. We have, there's tons of girls. We have our city girls and Bianca Valenti, that whole crew. Yeah.
Can we promote you guys real quick? Obviously, you guys have the photographs that you take are for sale, correct?
I wish you guys would promote my singing career more than
that. Okay,
we're going to a concert. We're going to Star Bene for the dinner concert.
In order to promote
the piano bar.
Your singing career, can we have a note or two?
He was singing to me all the way up here.
Doug has a book, which he forgot to bring down to give to you guys.
What's the book? What book is
it? It's called Inside Mavericks, Portrait of a Monster Wave.
Okay, where can we find it?
You can find it on Amazon, all the book sites. It was edited by Bruce Jenkins and co-edited with by Grant Washburn.
Okay.
And all the photos are mine.
What's it called again?
Inside Mavericks.
Okay.
Portrait of a Monster Wave.
Okay.
Does Bruce Jenkins still write for the Chronicle?
No,
he writes. Yeah.
Is he still the Chronicle?
Yes. Yeah.
And you're playing at which nightclub are you playing at, Frank, with the singing career you got going on?
Star Bene.
Hopefully. Right? it's karaoke, but that's deceiving. My cousin, and he has this beautiful, handcrafted metal shop in San Carlos. He does these custom metal works for everybody. We were talking. We go on a lot of trips together. He fell in love with the metal printing. Have you seen that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's like, why don't I sponsor a whole gallery of you doing metal prints?
Okay, perfect. Where can we see this?
So it's called Heavy Metal.
Okay.
We called it Heavy Metal, and it's going to open up in the Coastal Arts League in Half Moon Bay on January 15th.
Okay.
The soft opening, and then we'll have an opening night a week later or so.
And social media, people can see your photos?
Yeah, for sure. Well, it will be out there. We're always out there pumping it. I'm definitely a social media person.
Can I ask you
a
quick question? For the listening audience out there that I've never been out to Mavs, for people out there who don't know what it's like, what is Mavs like for somebody like me or a listening audience that's never been there? What don't we know about it? Is it the noise or is it the
No, I think you hit it. Like the first time that I've been out there, I went out on Jeff's boat, and it's the first thing that hit you is the noise.
The noise.
It's just that first giant wave, like that first set wave that cracks on the shelf, cracks in a bowl. You're just like, you just kind of, yeah. You just exactly what Mike said. It's a detonation, and you kind of sit up straight and like, okay.
There's certain things that you see that Mother Nature produces. I mean, to me, it's Yosemite Falls. You stand next to Yosemite Falls. That's the kind of feeling I get with Mavericks. It's like, for me, I feel privileged to be out there.
Of course.
Because I've surfed all the ways around that whole reef except Mavericks. I've surfed all the beach breaks, north, south, everything. But this is just like a standalone freak of nature.
Right. That can take your life, which is that what happened to Mark Fu. Is that...
Well, there's time... Okay. When we would get swells that big where the horizon was just stacked, you'd go to maybe like Pacifica in the sheltered areas or Santa Cruz where the points would break. But you didn't think about Mavericks because there's nobody really surfing it. And then Jeff came into his thing, everything escalated from there. But you realize that wave in its own stands above and beyond any wave.
And what's cool is after all these years, you still feel it.
Yeah.
And that's everywhere I've gone. Now I've got to go a lot of places and still going back out to Mavericks. Even though it's in my backyard, I still feel it and I still love it.
It's great.
So the sound is the most awe-inspiring part for you guys.
It's one of the sensations.
It's everything. It's everything for...
The visual, of course, too. First time you see somebody just push themselves over.
Seen rocks pulled up? Skin Dog said he saw some rocks blast out the back before.
God,
yeah, everything.
Gravel.
Yeah, gravel,
whales, waves.
when you go across the cauldron, and you realize how much water was just pushed down before you just went over it, it's like a gurgling cauldron just ready to explode upwards. And I've seen just back splashes off the way from where it hits and just blacks. It's like dynamite going off.
Right.
And you just...
Yeah, sometimes those spikes in the air are like another 20, 30 feet above that wave.
How people survive that.
Who flew off the bow of the Hula Cat? Was that the Hula Cat?
I don't mean to laugh.
No, a few people. No, the Hawk family. It was on Thanksgiving. There was one day on Thanksgiving and Steve Hawk had... Tony Hawk had hired this Hula Cat to take his family out for a nice little cruise out to Mavericks, right, to just watch. It was a good swell, medium swell. And, the Hula Cat driver's a little aggressive.
He puts it right in the bowl.
Just a little bit.
We got Don here from El Dorado real quick. Don, you there? Hang
Daddy.
On a second. Don, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, mate.
Hey, buddy. Kiss your ring.
What's happening? Hey,
I just wanted to let you guys know that, among photographers and legends of the world, you got royalty in your studio tonight.
I know.
Oh, Don, you started it.
Yeah, you started it, Don.
You started this mess.
Don, next time they come down, you got to come with them.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah,
all right, we'll plan.
Yeah, if it wasn't for a big daddy, we wouldn't...
Hey, Don, any questions for Frank?
Oh,
that you could get?
Hey, Don, can I ask you a question? Can Frank sing, or is this a bunch of crap?
Tell the truth.
Actually, he can play guitar really well. I don't know about singing.
That works.
Yeah, I really don't know about that, but he plays guitar great. Yeah.
All right, cool. Don, next time that you guys come down, please come down and join us in the studio. It'll be a great show.
We'd love to do that, and you guys are representing well. Huh?
Thank you very much, sir. We appreciate it. Have a good
love
night.
Love you, Big Daddy. Hello.
Merry
Thanks,
Christmas,
Don.
Thank you very much. All right, good night.
That's classic.
Okay, you've been listening to the Off the Radio Show. These guys. Almost over. I can't believe
we're
over.
Yeah, flies by. We'll have him back. We'll have you guys back. We'll do a follow-up show.
This was season one of the karate.
Yeah, there you go.
Right?
Hey, we got Doug in here finally.
The karate acting hour.
Well, it was good talking stories with you guys tonight, and there's a lot more to talk about. We will soon, so hey, I just want to say right. thank
Thanks
you.
Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome.
It's always
a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Frank, good to see you guys. Next week's show, Namalaka Doge is coming on the show. Just in studio tonight, just to check it out. December 26th, what are they called?
December 26th.
No, the White Album, the White Ensemble, the Beatles guys,
oh.
along with the Beggar Kings, the Rolling Stone guys. We're all going to be in the studio 26. Hey,
by the way,
they are bring my guitar down.
Really good cover band.
Please do.
Amazing cover band.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. Thanks, Chris, our engineer tonight. Really appreciate it. Again, Doug, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Frank, thank you so much. And Mike, thank you very much so much. And
great having you guys.
There's a quiet lady in the little one on the corner.
I think she's gonna We're smile. Off to Star Bene. Let's
she's
do
smiling.
It.
She's smiling. We'll see you tonight. We'll see you next week on the show. Norma Lakadoja next week. It's going to be a great show. Check it out next Tuesday night. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Really appreciate it. Good night.
From Capitola to Carmel, Red Hot News Talk, AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz.
Top of the hour.
I'm Pam Coulter. CBS News has just called the race, and Democrat Doug Jones is thanking voters for a narrow victory over Republican Roy Moore in Alabama's special Senate election. CBS's Steve Futterman is live via Skype from Moore headquarters.
Pam, this is a remarkable achievement for Doug Jones. He becomes the first Democrat to win a U.S. Senate race in Alabama in a quarter century since 1992. The turning point in this race came on November 9th. That's when the Washington Post published a story alleging that Roy Moore took part in inappropriate behavior with teenage girls when he was in his early 30s. Moore always denied the allegations, but they took their toll. So a state that in recent years has always gone Republican has now elected a Democrat as its senator. And right now here at Moore headquarters, it is very, very quiet. Live in Montgomery, Steve Futterman, CBS News.
CBS News has obtained the text messages that prompted the firing of one investigator for the special counsel probe of Russian election meddling. FBI agent Peter Strzok called then-candidate Donald Trump an idiot and the possibility of his victory terrifying. The Washington Post's Ed O'Keefe.
I don't know if most critics would go as far as the first son did here, but I think he has a point, which is that, you know, this does raise questions about the impartiality of it. This is probably exactly what Robert Mueller was hoping would never happen to his investigation. And that is, you know, presumably why he dismissed this gentleman so quickly.
President Trump created another Twitter uproar by saying Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand would do anything for campaign donations. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
Democrats called the president's words
nasty
and grotesque. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren even accused him of trying to intimidate and slut-shame Gillibrand.
I think only if your mind is in the gutter would you have read it that way.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders insisted there was no innuendo. More than 100 House Democrats signed a letter requesting that the House Committee on Oversight investigate the reports of sexual misconduct raised against President Trump by more than a dozen women.
Authorities say a wildfire that destroyed six homes and damaged a dozen more in California last week in the Bel Air section of Los Angeles was sparked by an illegal cooking fire. This is CBS News.
Honesty, integrity, experience. When you need to know what's happening in your world, turn to CBS News Radio, the team you can trust.
Protecting data across modern decentralized networks presents challenges that traditional backup solutions can't handle. At best, you'll waste time and money managing multiple solutions. At worst, gaps in coverage will leave your data vulnerable. Barracuda Backup is a single cloud-integrated solution that simplifies the backup process and allows data replication to anywhere on your network, a private cloud, Barracuda's cloud, or to the AWS public cloud. Reclaim your data. Try Barracuda Backup free at barracuda.com/backup.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Good evening. You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, 104.1 FM and 107.9 FM San Jose, and 95.7 Salinas Watsonville FM, KSCO.com. It's 5 minutes past 8 p.m. I'm Chris Spencer with your weather and traffic updates for tonight. Let's see, mostly clear out there this evening, a low around 44. And for Wednesday, sunny, a high near 68. Wednesday night, mostly clear, low around 44. And Thursday, sunny, a high near 70. Thursday night, mostly clear, low around 46. And Friday, sunny, a high near 68. Monterey Bay boaters forecast for tonight, northeast winds 10 knots, wind waves 2 feet or less, in a west swell 4 to 6 feet at 13 seconds. And traffic's looking good out there right now. It's about 50 degrees here at KSCO. Up next, the Alex Jones Show.